Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of September 19th. I'm John Gibson, and with me on a Saturday night is Jim Allen. What's happening, bud?
Oh, not too much. Saturday night is all right for fighting, I guess.
Or not. It feels so weird to be taping on a Saturday night. All the games are done, and Usually we would normally wake up the next morning early and tape, but we're both off on a Saturday. How often does that happen?
Well, I've started my spring vacation. In my case, spring is really busy.
Yes, but you're following right in line with NPB because their spring camp starts in February.
Well, that's when my spring starts, so I have no time. If I want to take a spring vacation, it's basically sometime. It's either January or September. You know, I picked this time because it's a time usually when the pennant races are more or less done.
More or less.
And I can have everything prepared, so if I'm not there, people can thump some stories onto the wire, get everything ready and done. So, yeah, it's convenient.
All right. Well, we are conveniently saddled up and ready to go for the final home stretch of the season. On the show this time, we've got an interview with Kyle Davies of the Swallows. We're going to talk about Yakult, the CL and PL playoff pictures, and more. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
Okay, on Wednesday, I went out to Jingu Stadium. Well, Jingu's stadium's indoor practice facility.
Same difference.
Yeah, it's across the street.
Same station.
And yeah, exactly. So a couple of interesting observations there or things I hadn't noticed before. But I had a chance to talk to Kyle Davies. He was going through a in-between start. Fairly intensive regimen by Mr. Keats and I, the Swallows conditioning coach.
Uh-huh.
But he was, you know, he got through it like a trooper, and he was very gracious to have a chat and, you know, and use his time, reduce his recovery time.
Yeah, right.
And now,
like some of the sumo wrestlers, right?
Dude, well,
It
wasn't quite that bad. Anyway, so the thing about Kyle Davies' career that struck me before I met him for the first time was that he'd had a lot of troubles. You know, he changed teams a lot, he got injured a lot, and he said to me at the beginning of the season, "I'm learning to throw with an arm." I've heard pitchers tell me this before, but I'm learning to throw with a completely different body. It's like he's had all these arm and mechanical issues, physical issues, that he doesn't throw hard like he used to. So he has to be sort of a completely different pitcher.
Right.
So basically he's been, you know, his career has been like Humpty Dumpty's. You remember that cat? You remember that cat, you know, with the sky-high ERA?
I just know he had all the King's horsemen out there working overtime. That's all I know about Humpty Dumpty.
Well, indeed. He did indeed. Well, hopefully he'll be like Humpty Dumpty and have a great fall, but those days are running out right now.
Right. Fall is in autumn.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you, buddy. We're on the same track.
I know you. See, I have no doubt. Okay. Anyway, but he'll never be back the way he was, so he's sort of using what he knows to make the best of what he's got,
right.
you know, what the doctors have left him. So it's always interesting to hear, and I thought he said some things that nobody had ever told me about playing in Japan, so let's have a listen.
Our guest this week on the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast is Yakult Swallows right-hander Kyle Davies. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No, it's always a pleasure. You know, sorry it took this long to get to you, but I mean, things have taken their time with you this year.
Yeah, they have. You know, I've been kind of all over the place. I've been up and down, you know, kind of hurt and not hurt, and, you know, trying to find some consistency here.
What kind of injuries did you have to deal with, physical? I mean, this season. Not that database you brought with you.
You know, I've you know, for the past few seasons, I've been very healthy, and then I got here and I had a little back issue in spring, and you know, it kind of it drug out too long and got bad, and then, you know, I was down for 2 months, and then I had a little neck issue, but other than that, I've been okay.
Okay, I was actually, I got here, and it was kind of interesting. Your manager was over there having, just talking to the reporters. It's not quite like it was last year when there'd be 20 of us, three. And he said that, you know, the stadium's landlord is Meiji Jingu, the Meiji Shrine. And so Japanese people go and pray to the shrine for good health. And he said, I'm afraid we're not a very good advertisement for him this year.
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of injuries, not just only me, but I think everyone in our starting rotation to start the year has been missed a start for some reason or another. I think pretty much everybody in the lineup, you know, besides maybe one or two, have missed games because of it. So, yeah, it's been a tough season health-wise, and it's really tough to get consistent play when you're like that.
Okay. Now, this is your first, you know, everybody says the first year is hard. And now you've been through most of the first year. What was what were some of the things that were challenging for you to come into play in Japan for the first time?
Well, everything's brand new. You know, it's everything is different. You know, usually in the States, even if you go to a new team, you know 10 people,
right?
You know, 15 people. And the system is, you know, fairly uniform, you know. Here there's a lot of differences, you know, the dressing at the hotel on the road, that's different.
Yeah.
You know, the whole, just the schedule and everything is different,
right?
You know, for me, starting every 7, 6, 7, 8 days is different,
right?
You know, and it's taken a little bit of time to get used to that, but I think everyone that goes into a new situation has a little bit of an adjustment period.
Okay. Now, one of the topics recently has been the Carp, obviously, because they won the pennant for the first time in forever. And one of the things they do with the foreign, they do their whole foreign acquisition and scouting and the whole bit a little differently from everybody. And tell us about what your experience was with the Swallows. Now, I guess Michael Okumura handled everything.
Yeah, you know, he did. Up until the signing process, you know, obviously it was back and forth between my agents, and then he contacted me, so I didn't have a whole lot of a hand into, you know, that process. But once I got here, it couldn't have been better. You know, the guys have done everything they can to, whether it be from Shin Koyama, my translator, to Michael, to the team of the Swallows. Everyone has been very, very welcoming. That has been a very easy part. Mm. You know, it's just, like I said, it's just getting used to, you know, what you have to do here, you know, and kind of doing some of the same things you do in the States, but then obviously adapting to the way the Japanese play. So that's the little difference, that it takes a little bit of an adjustment period.
Do you remember the first time you went like, can you say that again? Are you serious?
Well, I mean, you know, every day. No. It's, you know, it's not so much as like, you know, I didn't know that, you know, okay,
right.
I didn't know that, you know, okay, I didn't know that. And it is a little different. It's, you know, like I said, the travel and everything is different. You know, the way we go about laundry and stuff is different. It's just it's just a different, like, different emphasis on different things, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The things are the same. They're just kind of put into a kind of a scrambler.
Different order. That's it. Everything, you have the same mix of things. It's just a different order.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're a kid, that's probably normal. But for people who are adults, it's a little disconcerting.
Yeah. Well, things that you thought were important before, maybe not so important here. Yeah, that kind of.
Okay. Now, how about the adjusting to the game? Now, as you said, you didn't have 10 teammates, former teammates on this team, but you obviously, there's people in Japan you knew.
Yeah, a couple, you know, but everyone's story's different. You know, like, this is my 16th professional season, you know, and over half of that was spent in the major leagues.
Right.
So there's not anybody over here with, like, that,
right.
You know. So who am I going to talk to that's going to start it, you know?
Right.
Nobody.
Okay.
So that's the things you kind of get used to. I know Zagurski, and I played with him, but it was in AAA.
Okay.
And we have different schedules. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's a left-handed reliever. I'm a right-handed starter and pitched, you know, started over 150 games.
Right.
So it's just there's subtle differences. And, you know, even when you're on a team in the States, there's always another guy that's really close to what same experience as you've had. So, and that was a little bit of an adjustment, just figuring out what I needed to do here, you know, and watching some guys, what they did, how they were successful here. And it's all, like I said, it's all, you know, personally based, if that makes any sense.
Did it help to have a pitching coach who's been in the majors?
Absolutely. Well, he understands how we usually go about it. He's seen how we've done it, you know, like, and there's some things that he's like, okay, well, you just do what you need to do. Well, sometimes that's tough too, because you're still trying to figure out yourself over here.
Right.
So, So, and you know, in that aspect, it's tough. You need to pitch well, and you know, I didn't get off to a great start, and now I'm starting to pitch well. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, by and large, you've been putting out good innings for him, and really important. Might be a little too late at this stage, but right. you're still
a chance.
Indeed, you're still fit. It looks like next year's a possibility. You're going to be ready to play next year.
Absolutely,
for sure.
I will definitely be ready to play.
Okay, now this year you come to the Swallows, and we got the torture master here, Mr. Keats, and I've been asking him a couple of questions. How's that been going with his conditioning program?
I like Kit. I think he's doing a very good job with everyone. It's been a tough year for him, obviously, with the injuries, but it's been very consistent, and he adjusts to you. So what other more can you ask for?
Okay, now
it's not his job to continually make us healthy. You know, it's on us. So.
Okay, so what other things have you enjoyed about pitching in Japan this first year?
Well, I mean, like I said, it's been an experience of a lifetime. I really love the culture. I've figured out that there is a different way to play the game, you know, and it can be just as successful, you know. And
it can
that,
be annoying sometimes.
Well, the foul balls can get very annoying for a pitcher, yes. The foul balls can get very annoying, and you make great pitches, and it's foul ball. You're like, oh, man, just swing the bat, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the game over here, and you have to learn to adjust to it.
Yeah, pitching to contact is a really tough life way to make a living over here.
Yes, well, that, and you don't pitch to contact in the States. If you do, you're going to get crushed.
Okay.
So you better get something different. So, and that's what I explained to the guys. I was like, well, how would he do in the States? Well, I don't know. It's completely different. You know, like, you don't see a whole lot of it transfer, you know. Like, you see transfer come over here. It's just very difficult to transfer as a hitter that way.
Now, of course, you got one guy on this team who might be playing in the majors in a couple of years, Tetsuto Yamada.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about his? Can he make that adjustment? Does people throw in 98 miles an hour?
Who knows?
Okay.
You know, I can sit here and say yes, no, who knows?
Okay.
You know?
Fair enough.
I hope he gets the chance.
Yeah, I think.
Because I think he's got a chance.
Yeah, he's got looks so far so good.
Yeah, you can watch anybody throw in the bullpen and say that guy's a 20-game winner, but you got to see him out there. You know, like you can see every guy take BP. And them hit it over into the trees over here, but it doesn't translate to the game. So that's the whole thing.
Fair
and
enough.
Yamada has played very well here, and he's a 40-homer guy here.
Yeah.
I would love to see how he would do in the States.
Yeah.
I would, you know, I would root for him. I think he would do great, but who knows?
Again, who knows? Indeed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, who knows about what's next? But good luck with your next start and the one after that, and the season after this.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on their show.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Kyle. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kyle. We really appreciate the time. Like I said, I always say before, these guys, they don't know we're coming. A lot of times they
That's not always true. Sometimes they know we're coming, but those are the guys we usually don't get because they're running. And I don't mean like doing, you know, running the warning track.
right.
Doing stair training to get away from us.
Yeah, running the opposite direction.
Exactly. So what would you like to comment on?
First thing that struck me was him being frustrated with all the foul balls, and we've heard that before. So it's not really anything new. And then, I don't know what he expected when he came to Japan. I mean, you know, he said there's emphasis on different things. The things that you thought were important before, now not so much, was the quote that stuck out for me. And,
right.
you know, he pitched on Friday at Tokyo Dome, and I was listening on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost the game, and the Daimajin was doing the color commentary, Kazuhiro Sasaki. And he said two things that really were astounding. He said, look, the book on Kyle around the league is that he's fairly easy to time. That a lot of batters do in Japanese, they say the 1-2-3 swing.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually the ball's there. And what goes hand in hand with that is that he tends to give up a lot of extra base hits. So essentially because he's easy to time. So on Friday, he surrendered a couple of home runs, one to Shuichi Murata and then a solo blast to Seiji Kobayashi, the catcher. And so, you know, everyone's experience is different. And we've seen Kyle struggle, and it just sounds like he's had that kind of frustrating year. You can actually hear it in the interview, you know, him talking about his body not working, the guy's fouling pitches off, him having to learn different things. And of course, him saying he wants to come back is no surprise either, because we've heard a lot of people say, hey, look, I really enjoyed the experience. I like the culture. I like the baseball. And I think he's with a good team. I think maybe if he were in a park or in a situation where the ball doesn't fly out so easily, and I don't know what situation that might be. Maybe Nagoya Dome might be a better home stadium for him. Maybe a Pacific League Dome stadium might be. But if he has that kind of situation, maybe it'd be different. But I love the example that he gave with Mike Zagurski of the Bay Stars and saying how, you know, the foreign pitchers or foreign players get grouped into situations or get labeled, but they're all each individual experience and each individual game is different. You know, Zagurski being a left-handed reliever, him being a right-handed starter, that's just, that's not a mirror, not a mirror, but a complete opposite. So I really like those aspects of the chat because you, for me, I got a good grasp of his experience this whole season, what it has been like just from that, you know, 7 minute, 8 minute chat.
Well, I think the last thing you mentioned was what really struck me the most or what stayed with me the most, because what we normally hear is, oh yeah, I knew this guy, you know, these tips were great. And now we got somebody who says, like, I'm not like anybody else. I'm in America, there'll be somebody like me on the team.
Right.
But I'm still, even in America, he's still fairly unique. And in Japan, he's completely, I mean, the people like him are going to be Japanese guys. Which is, it would be interesting because I would think he'd have a few things in common with Shohei Tateyama.
Right, Shohei Tateyama.
And they're about the same age, and they both had, although Shohei Tateyama's surgeries have all been elbow things, and he's had this and that and whatnot. I thought it was interesting. I was curious. Of course, obviously, last week we spoke about Keats and I and the Swallows conditioning regime, and I was really curious to get his take on it.
Right.
Well, you know, I do what I want to do. Okay, great.
Nice, thanks. Of course, yeah, but that day, Keats and I was running him ragged, apparently, huh?
Well, he was going through the normal routine. You know, the pitchers have a very specific routine for their between start times. So he was going through his program. I've seen the other pitchers out there going through theirs, and it wasn't any different. They're all unique, though. They're all a little different. They're all tailored to the individuals,
right?
But the one thing, I guess, the other thing was, you know, I'm running out of time. And at first, you know, and I thought, like, what, like in your career, which wouldn't have surprised me because he is running out of time in his career and sort of the big picture.
Yes.
But it is more like, I wish this season was a month longer. You know, I wish it didn't have to go in so soon. You know, it's almost like he's saying, let me go to fall camp to prove I belong. You know, like one of the Japanese guys.
Right. Or just, so you know, let me go when I'm healthy so that I have an opportunity to prove that I'm, you know, better than what I experienced part of this year. Because he hadn't really pitched poorly that much. You know, the Friday game at Tokyo Dome was not a good one for him. But he had been, as you mentioned in the previous episode last week, that he and Masanori Ishikawa and Ryan Ogawa had been the three guys who had been carrying the load basically for the rotation recently. And so that was part of it. He just didn't get it done on Friday, but he had been good.
I think he'd been pretty steady. He had a couple of... He didn't have a good start last time, and then he didn't have a good start the other day. So, well, you know, that is part of the game, and you know, move on. And I think the Swallows are not a terrible team, and I think you know, he was really a big help for them. You know, I mean, they had a lot of, in addition to the injuries, they had to change closers in the middle of the season. So,
well,
anyway.
They started out not really having a closer, and then
sending their closer home,
and then
going to
a different guy who's been really good, actually.
The person they designated as, I mean, you can say, oh, well, they didn't have a closer. Well, they did have a closer, but it didn't work out for the full season.
Well, what they said was, I mean, at one point in camp, they said they were going to have a closer by committee, and then whoever emerged, was going to be the guy, and then Ondrasek emerged, and then blew up, and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, they had a guy, they had a sort of a plan, but it started out by as a committee kind of a thing. But yeah, they did eventually settle on a guy. It just didn't work out.
And then that didn't work out. Right. Okay.
So the other thing that stood out for me was the response to the Tetsuto Yamada question. And that was in line with what he was saying, that all the experiences being different, we think he would do well in the big leagues. You know, he wouldn't answer your question. I thought I wouldn't do it either if I were a baseball player. Oh yeah, this guy's going to be great. I can't wait to see him get it to the States. And then what if? But I mean, all signs point to Tetsuto being really good. But and actually, I think he would do really well in the big leagues, because then he would be in a situation where there are fastball counts and he can sit on pitches and just pound away. And again, I'm not sure if that would translate power-wise, because of the increase in the velocity that the big power pitchers are throwing, and he's going to have to learn to deal with that velocity and the pitchers and the ballparks and all that other stuff that pitching, the ballpark effects and all that stuff can impact him big time. But I still think he's going to be good when he goes. I'm just not sure second base is where the big league teams want to see him. I'm thinking they want to stick him in the outfield somewhere, especially if he can run. If he's going to steal a bunch of bases, I'm thinking they're looking at him as more as a center fielder. But that's my opinion. I think he can play second base in the big leagues. I just, after the Nishioka incident, I just think...
I don't think he has. The game has changed since then.
Since when? Nishioka.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. All right.
So it's a different major leagues right now than it was, 4 years ago.
We've got the Chase Utley rule in place and all that, the leg crusher. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, yep. He could probably get away with some stuff, but still, I think, yeah, when I look at him, then the physical makeup of him, and if they really want him to hit for power, I think they might be thinking of him more as an outfielder, but that's my personal opinion. I have nothing to substantiate that claim.
Okay. Well, none of us do. I mean, our understandings are our understandings. They're not knowledge. They're not information. They're just, our interpretations. So, I'm with that, because he's basically saying, well, I don't know. And so if I don't know, I'm not going to talk about it, which is, it's kind of refreshing, actually.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And you get a bunch of loudmouths like yours truly, that's pretty rare. I don't know about it, but let me tell you anyway.
Right. All right. So, looking at the Swallows overall, I really think they did a really good job to make themselves relevant in the CLCL, the CLCS race going down the stretch, because they had such a rotten first half and, they were decimated with injuries and guys have been coming back, but it's kind of late in the season for them to come back and make an impact on them reaching the playoffs. But I think they really did a good job, all things considered. I mean, earlier in the season, I talked to one of the foreign players who said, yeah, look at the way the Swallows are in last place and they're so bad. And I'm thinking, huh? It's just they're only like 3 or 4 games out of first place. It's just that, all the teams are bunched together. They're in last place. But none of the teams.
Yeah, anybody.
Really, yeah, none of the teams were really running away with anything at the time. It wasn't like this is the Cubs thing. That not like they're going to be 35 games over 500 the way they were looking in the first month and a half or so.
Yeah, I think so. I think, but it is still kind of a. I know people had high expectations. People other than me had high expectations for the Swallows. I didn't really. I picked them to be not really far from where they are. I thought. Third place and close to fourth, on the perimeter, on the perimeter of the pennant race. And one of the things that was interesting to me, and I'll tell you, this is sort of just kind of fun stuff. It doesn't have anything to do with real information or understanding, except I was thinking about how last year Mitsuru Wanaka was so fun because the Swallows manager was so fun because he'd be in these really high pressure pre-game, as high pressure as a pre-game can be on a manager,
right?
But he's really loose and relaxed, and he's telling jokes, but there'd be like 15-20 reporters crowded around him at the Swallows practice facility, and it was still fun and light. And on Wednesday I went out there, and when I got there, there were two people listening to him.
Two.
Two. And I made it three. And somebody came towards the end, And I'll tell you what we were talking about was, let's see, we discussed the merits of Tokyo's Oedo subway line.
Wow.
And the neighborhood around Tokyo's Shin Egota Station. He lives in that part of Tokyo.
Oh, that's out toward me, yeah.
Yeah, and he said sometimes, he said he'd ridden the subway to the ball game a few days before. And, you know, people, now and then somebody will look his way and somebody might point or show somebody else that he was on the subway, but nobody bothers him. And
wow.
So we talked about that. We talked about, I didn't actually say anything, to be honest. I laughed at a couple of the jokes and things, but customs and superstitions on draft day.
Especially when you open the envelope and you think you've got the draft rights to Shun Takayama when you don't.
Right. Well, he said, first of all, somebody said, well, you picked the losing lot there. He said, I did not pick the losing lot. I picked the one that was left in the box.
Right.
So it wasn't me. Yeah. I took the one that was in front of me. So, but he said he will wear something emerald green. I think he said a tie, but he's going to wear something green, maybe like green suit or something, and maybe an emerald green kind of a silk tie or something on draft day.
Which is next month. I saw the announcement this past week.
It is. Well, it is.
Yeah.
It's going to be right the day before the official practice for the Japan series, as it has been recently. Let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, the Swallows injury rash. As I mentioned briefly when we were talking to Kyle, was mm-hmm. that he said it was kind of a bummer, kind of too bad for Meiji Jingu Shrine because the Swallows having so many injuries, and Meiji Jingu Shrine is their landlord. They own Jingu Stadium, and you know people go there to pray for good health, and here they've got the Swallows as sort of their poster boys, and they look like Jerry's kids.
They look like people coming out of the MASH unit. Yeah,
indeed they do. So anyway, so the Swallows were playing the Bay Stars that day. They were playing them in a series, and a few minutes later I had a chance to talk to Alex Ramirez when of course he had, you know, 12 reporters around him.
Only 12.
Only 12. Well, you know, that's what happens if you're third place. And the interesting thing was that he said, there are things I would like the guys to do differently at this time of the year and in the Climax series. But, you know, there's changes I'd like to make. But these guys have never been here before. And they got plenty of pressure on them already without me giving them more to worry about.
Mm.
So I want them to go out and play their game and relax as much as they can and focus on what they can do. And I might, you know, now, you know, in a specific situation, I might say, you might think about doing this, you know, give them a suggestion or a hint, but I'm not going to do any more than that. I'm not going to put more on their plate than they can handle.
Yeah, I did see in the game on Friday night where he had, I don't know if he gave the sign for it or not, but he had Kuramoto, his shortstop, trying to bunt, and mm-hmm. he couldn't get the guy over in the first two attempts, and he said, oh, well, you bunt with two strikes because mm-hmm. I want you to get it done, because probably they're going to be changing or doing more bunting. That's what I thought while watching it.
Heard
the announcer say the same thing. And Kuramoto couldn't get the bunt down, ended up striking out. So, yeah, I can understand not wanting to put that kind of pressure on there. But I think, you know, postseason baseball is a little bit different, so they're going to probably have to play it a little bit different. But they got a big boost from Guillermo Moscoso today. He threw fairly well. He gave up a couple runs early, and then they ended up with a 6-3 win and beat the Tigers, and I think that it ended the Tigers' thoughts of some kind of miracle playoff comeback, and they were officially eliminated. But getting back to the Swallows, I wanted to acknowledge that Coco Ballantyne has a lot to do with them getting back into the playoff picture, and he's really had a relatively healthy year for him.
Yep,
and he's been very productive, hit his 30th home run on Wednesday, and mm-hmm. that helped the Swallows win that game. And
right.
I saw a note, I just couldn't confirm it anywhere, that he was the only foreign player who with the Yakult Swallows to hit 30 home runs in at least five seasons.
Mm.
And that's pretty impressive. I would tend to believe it. I just don't remember if Alex Ramirez ever got to 30 that often for them. But
no.
Yeah, he's really been good with the bat, but I just don't know about the... I mean, defensively, he still doesn't look 100% to me when he's running in the field. Now, when he's running the first, he looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's chasing balls, I've seen him just drop, you know, not get to balls, drop balls. You know, he just really hasn't been that guy you can trust in left field. And left field, let's be honest, that's where you put guys who really you're trying to say you don't have to do very much. Just sit out there in left field. That's why we have that saying, actually. But and then they've had the injuries, but they did discover, mm-hmm. I think, kind of a backup catcher in Akihisa.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was really good. And
yes.
Miota Yachi.
At least offensively,
yeah,
he
offensively,
was good. I don't know about his defense.
Well, there's no way you can get better watching other guys, you know, call games and catch bouncing pitches. You got to do it yourself. But I thought he got some good playing time, got some good experience, and I thought he was okay. I think I mean, all these guys are going to get better, but with more playing time. And then Miota Yachi got some playing time. When Tetsuto was out injured, I think that was good. So they have a lot of positives to build on. And it's too bad they're not going to be able to make the playoffs, I don't think.
Yep.
It's not a done deal. It's pretty close.
Well, yeah, the Swallows are basically, as of Saturday's games, the Giants were one tie away from clinching a playoff spot. And the Bay Stars are two wins and a tie.
Right.
So the Swallows could still...
Went out.
They could if they run the table and the Bay Stars fall, you know,
stumble and bumble and
lose all their players. You know, yes. You know we misplaced our team. You know, that's about what it's going
to
take.
Right. All right. So making a four seam transition, let's go to the PL, and the Fighters and the Hawks are just wow. They are one night they're good and the next night they're iffy. Neither team seems to be taking control of who really wants to win that pennant. But the Fighters, you know, really looking not so hot this past week in the fact that they lost some games that they just really didn't look inspired in. But I'm just looking at Oryx Buffaloes, and they just keep beating the top two teams.
Yep.
And then losing to just about everybody else. It's just weird.
I think that is true.
It's just weird.
Well, yeah, it has been like that. The Buffaloes, I think, and I know I mentioned this some months back, you know, sort of at some point they sort of gave up on the old pattern, and they just brought it. They brought up a bunch of young guys, and one of those young guys was
Masataka Yoshida.
Masataka Yoshida, who's been really, really good.
I think he had started out the season injured. He got injured again. Mm-hmm. And finally is back up on the top.
It brought up a couple of guys. Some of them, it looked like they were desperate because they had a guy who was probably the fattest ball player in Japan. And I thought, like, what the heck? You know, so, but Buffaloes are, you know, they'll surprise you in good ways sometimes. So, because they do have good players, nobody ever doubts that they have good players. But anyway, so yeah, so the Buffaloes have had that effect. You know, they slug the Fighters, they slug the Hawks, and then both teams kind of go, like, it's like the Roadrunner. They're going, you know, they're getting these Wile E. Coyote moments. They're going like, what happened?
Right.
Oh, okay, go play somebody else and beat the heck out of them.
Well, these teams square off this coming week on Wednesday and Thursday in Fukuoka. But then after that, the Fighters have three games left with the Eagles, and then the Buffaloes, they play once, and then they play the Lions twice. But the Hawks have the Lions three times, and the Marines three times, and then the Eagles. So that's kind of a tougher schedule. Now, I believe the Hawks can beat anybody. I don't think they're worried about who they play, where,
no.
or when. So I don't think it's a big deal. I also heard Rick Vandenhurk is expected back on the mound soon. Shota Takeda has been pretty steady for them all season.
Yep.
If they get anything from Setsu or...
Yeah, he pitched, actually. He did. He gave up some hits, and I didn't see the hits he gave up.
Mm-hmm.
But he was getting lots of swings and misses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know what it means for a track record, but, you know, 2 years they've basically kept him in, you know, in stasis or cold storage on the farm team. For most of the summer, and then brought him back, and there was the, you know, and he was like the pitcher that you'd want pitching on opening day, like your ace pitcher, you know, back in September and October, and looking like, you know, looking fresh as a daisy. You know, he's just lousy from. He's lousy from March to July. Yeah, basically. But he's their ace, baby.
Yeah, and then Tsuyoshi Wada, who only threw 5 innings today and then left big, got the win tonight. And then Kenichi Nakata, I think they're going to use him. I don't know in what respect. So I like their chances. I like their chances, but I'm really concerned about Kohei Arihara of the Fighters. He just really has fallen off a cliff. And, you know, I was tweeting with guys during the week, and I went back and counted. He has lost 6 consecutive decisions and hasn't won a game since July 22nd. And he had won 5 in a row going into that, or 4 in a row going into that July 22nd game, and then he won that. So it just hasn't been good. He's given up 30 earned runs in the subsequent 44 innings pitched since July 22nd. And his worst outing he had of the season in terms of runs was the last one. He gave up 8 earned runs in 5 innings pitched. And I was tweeting, and someone said, well, why did they send him back out there when he had given up a bunch of runs early? And I was listening on the radio, and the color commentary that night, I don't remember who it was, but it said, well, you know, they had already sent him down to the farm to work on things. The only way he's going to get better is to come out on the top team and produce. But I was looking at him, and he just, you know, he has a tendency sometimes to just arm the ball up to the plate, and he just had no velocity or no kick on his pitches. He was just throwing with mostly arm, and it just didn't look good. And I was just starting to think, all right, he must be injured.
Okay.
And
he's fatigued.
I don't know, something, but I searched the internet and really couldn't find evidence of any injury claims, but.
Okay.
I'm just not seeing anything with that arm. It just looks dead. It looks like he got a case of dead arm.
Wow. Well, you know, John's available. Wait, he didn't sign on the roster, so no.
I'm only good for probably an inning, man.
Okay. And you weren't on the roster, so no. You weren't even on waivers.
I have to get into pitching shape.
Okay. I'm not going to ask what your pitching shape would look like, what kind of diagram, you know, what kind of geometric figure that would be.
Hopefully not a pear shape.
All right.
So that'll be fun to watch going down the stretch. I'm sticking with the Hawks, even though I think the Fighters are in good position. But, you know, we'll see what happens, because I think if either team can sweep that head-to-head meeting, I think obviously they're going to have the advantage. But the Fighters definitely have the advantage with the schedule after that. So it should be fun watching this. I hope it goes down to the last pitch again.
I think if you asked me who's played better from start to now, I'd have to say the Fighters. They played better with the guy they depend so much on doing precious little this season, Sho Nakata. He's hit some home runs, but he hasn't gotten on base.
I saw Sho Nakata hit a ground ball today, and I wanted to nickname him Slow Nakata, because he really took his time getting to first base. I think if it was someone else, they would have gotten. They would have been safe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That should be a fun race to watch all the way down to the end. All right, so making a seamless transition, let's talk about the top rookies. So I want to start with the PL and then go to the CL first. And I'll let you go first, because you seem to be really excited about this exercise. And normally you're not really into them, so I give you homework, and you do it like 5 minutes before we start taping.
No, I think it's more a case of the rookies. We haven't had a really good rookie class.
That's true. I was thinking that
in a couple of years.
I thought about this topic, and I thought, you know, this is in a couple of years, because I didn't think Arihara was, you know, Rookie of the Year worthy last year in the PL.
He didn't think he was Rookie of the Year worthy last year. Wasn't.
And then I think he kind of gave it away in a couple of situations. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right.
So, okay, now first the Pacific League. And now I think there's 4 guys who there'll be more than that who get some votes, because there'll be some beat writers who will want to next spring say, hey, you know, I voted, I gave you my Rookie of the Year vote.
Right. I've seen those
guys. Right. Yeah. There's a lot of them.
I want to smack them, yeah.
Indeed, indeed we do. So, you know, vote for the guy who does it, you know. So basically, I got two pitchers and two position players. I think the best position player is Igor Omogi.
Yes, Mogi Bear, I like to call him. Instead of Yogi Bear, Mogi Bear.
Do you? Do you indeed? That's a revelation, man. Can I be more condescending? I hope so.
I hope so. Yes. No, only if you try. But I won't let you try. Get on with it, Alan.
Okay. Igor Omogi, 733 OPS, and he's a shortstop, and he's played basically the whole season, 424 plate appearances. But I don't. Okay.
Well, he was injured. He was injured a little bit, but yeah, he's
right. Basically, but he's been in there,
top
right.
of the order guy who's been.
Yeah,
up
and playing yeah. well. Another guy who will get some consideration because he's been red hot recently, but he's got about a half a season of playing time, is Masataka Yoshida of Oryx.
Oh, you think he will? I don't think he's going to get. I mean, I don't think he's just been out too long. He started the season injured. He got injured midseason, and he just hasn't been around long enough. I don't think so. But yeah,
he'll get a vote. He'll get a few votes, I think.
No.
Okay, now the two pitchers have.
Go ahead.
And I think it's obvious who's which of these two. The two best pitchers in the Pacific League Rookie of the Year race are Hiroshi Takanashi of the Fighters. He's 9-2 with a 2.50 ERA. Really nothing but good stuff. Now, the next guy on the list is Takayuki Kato of the Fighters.
Man, you're so easy to read. I got all your guys, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, obviously. But he's not really. I mean, you just put those two next to each other, and you can see, obviously, Kato's not as good as Takanashi, and they play on the same team. So I think it really comes down to Takanashi over Mogi. And I think, what do you think? Do you have somebody else?
No, I wanted to give some guys some props because they had been doing well. Kota Futaki of the Lotte Marines and Yota Sekiya.
Doing well with those ERAs in the fours.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're rookies. I'm not going to worry about their ERAs too much because they've basically both pitched in the rotation the entire season, and I think that's big for that team because that team needed them to do that. And they've been able to do that. I don't think they, I mean, velocity-wise, neither one of them is outstanding. They don't have a lot of deception. They just, you know, they're control guys. I think they're going to try to make both of them in the image of Ayumu Ishikawa, who probably doesn't even throw as hard as those guys, but is
just... You mean they're going to make him wear that funky beard?
No, maybe they'll make him do the haircuts at some point. But
okay.
You know, if you can't grow facial hair, you just can't do it. I don't think they can make him do that. Okay. But they can do the funky hairstyles. But no, I think they just, I mean, that guy is a really good control pitcher, and I think they're going to try to make them in his image. And then Shinsaburo Tawata, who has really actually, second half of the season has been pretty good for the Lions, so I like him. So I'm giving those guys honorable mention. But my guy is Mogi Bear. I mean, he has really been great. I love the guy. I love the way he swings. He swings like he means it. He plays good enough D. I think he's going to have to improve that, and there's possibility that can get better, and he'll be more used to positioning, and he's got a season under his belt. But I think he really made a big impact on the Eagles. And one of the things I like to do with my Rookie of the Year is not just pick a guy because he has the best numbers, but I want to pick a guy who's going to stick around, make an impact. And I think he's going to be good for that team going forward. So that's why he's my pick.
Well, if that was the case, then I'd pick Yoshida because I think he's going to be a better player.
Well, but, he just doesn't have the numbers yet. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah.
You got to put up numbers too. But yeah, I think he can be. Well, you have to put up numbers to be a rookie of the year.
But it's not numbers. But I want to pick. I know
that's not what I said. I said
you've got that little extra. You know, you've got that little extra. I do listen.
Well, I said part of it.
I am listening, and I'm saying your value system is flexible, and but. I would. Mogi is my guy, but I'm gonna bet you when a pitcher if Takanashi wins 10 games, the chances of Mogi winning Rookie of the Year would be about the same as his winning the jumbo lottery. You know, he might as well just send his consolation speech. What do you say? You uh, you give up in an election. What do they call that?
A concession.
Yeah. If Takanashi wins one more game, Mogi might as well just send him a letter of congratulations because nobody has not a chance in hell. He's a pitcher. Pitchers get everything in Japan. Oh, pitcher, 10 games. Great. Rookie of the year.
Yeah, not only that, Mogi's playing for a fourth place team and Takanashi's helping contribute to a winning team. So that's probably going to knock him down a couple notches too in Japan.
I think there's some place for that, and if they were right on the, you know, if I couldn't pick between the two, I might do that. So okay.
All right, in the Central League.
Okay, Central League. Who you got in the Central League, man?
I'm going to let you go because I mean there's only three guys in my opinion. There are three guys, and really there's just one.
I put two pitchers and, just to be balanced. Yeah. But for me, I put two pitchers to be balanced, but one of them doesn't belong. Props. Yeah, he's a prop.
Okay. Yeah, okay. He can be decoration.
Okay. The two position players are Fumiya Hojo, shortstop for the Hanshin Tigers.
Yep.
And Shun Takayama, the left fielder for the Hanshin Tigers.
Yep. And,
The pitcher who belongs is Shota Imanaga of the DeNA BayStars.
Right.
And the pitcher who doesn't belong is Akitake Okada of the Hiroshima Carp.
No, he does not belong. I'm surprised. I have all those guys, and I have Yasutaka Tobashida, the catcher for the DeNA BayStars.
Oh, that's good. He's a good pick too.
And I don't think he's going to win it.
No, he isn't, because his offense is holding him back.
Right. Even though he can't catch pop ups around the plate, but
yeah, he can't catch pop ups. But he's been such a huge help to the BayStars. But you know.
Exactly.
I mean, I fell into my trap, which is I just run down and I look for guys that can hit, you know, because the hardest thing in baseball is hitting the baseball.
I agree.
You know, and being an offensive force, and he's not, but the amount of, you know, I'm not certain how his defense is going to play out, but I'm going to be pretty sure he's going to be among the more valuable catchers in the Central League this year in terms of his defense. Overall, he might even be the most valuable catcher in the Central League. Well, the Kobayashi is taking a step up. But anyway, I think he's great. I regret not mentioning him.
Right. So, I just put him on the list as an honorable mention. I just wanted him to be on there. I think he should get some votes. And his work behind the plate, his work with the pitchers has been part of the reason why the Bay Stars had such a good start and have been consistent pretty much throughout the season. I don't think since the All-Star break they've been that good, but they haven't been bad and they've been pretty consistent. But I think
the other thing that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
About the Central League is if, you know, the requirements to be a Rookie of the Year is you haven't had 60 plate appearances. You haven't had more than 60 plate appearances, and you haven't been a professional for more than 5 years.
Oh, I thought it was three. I know it was a long time, and I thought, man, right. Look, I can.
And that rule has killed Fumihito Haraguchi, who would be the third Rookie of the Year candidate for the Tigers.
Right, yeah.
because he turned pro in 2009, I think. So,
yeah, Hojo. Hojo was in that same draft class as Shintaro Fujinami. He has just taken a longer time to get up to the top team, but he.
Yeah, but he's still in there. He's hanging in there, so he's eligible. Yeah. And if I had to pick. You know, the Tigers beat essentially the daily sports, which likes to tell, you know, all Tigers fans what to think, and all Japanese, by definition, all Japanese baseball fans what to think, has decided that Takayama is going to be the Rookie of the Year. He's the only one qualified. But
right.
That's because they've just hitched their wagon to him from day one. But his offense has just gone and has just become normal. And Hojo is basically, the only difference between the two is Hojo is a vastly more valuable player as a fielder. And he's basically as good as a hitter who hasn't had as much playing time. So.
Yeah, the thing about Takayama that I don't like is his defense.
Yep. I didn't want to go into that too much with talking about Monaco, but Monaco was saying, like, how bad you know, he said Takayama is, and I shouldn't hold this out, but basically Takayama is a testament to the question how bad you can be and still play in the outfield.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, so, you know, I was talking with, chatting and tweeting with some Tigers fans this past week, and, you know, I was trying to explain, I don't understand their frustrations fully because this was a rebuilding year, and the manager made that clear early on, although he tried to use Jedi mind tricks and tell people that he, you know, they were going to try to win by, while doing it, and they did a good job of it, they were competing, but when you finish the season and you look and see you find yourself in fifth place... I think there's areas that could be frustrated about. One, Fujinami's, you know, perplexing season. We expected more out of him.
Yeah, you think now,
that would be frustrating.
You would think that once Kanemoto taught him that vital lesson that if he doesn't have control, he's going to throw 190 pitches, you think his control would be better. What's up with that? Obviously, he didn't get the picture. He doesn't take it seriously. He needs more lessons. He needs more abuse. Or am I missing something?
Yeah.
He wouldn't have. How many guys? How many guys did he walk the other day? Like eight? Wow! It's like that's impressive for a guy who received that much education.
All right, put your whip back in its holster or whatever it is. Stop beating on the guy. But
I'll get off my Devo kick there.
But yeah, I think that's more perplexing than the fact that they're not going to be able to make the playoffs. I think that was totally foreseeable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fans have their expectations, and I think they were very high for this team, and mine were not. And I think obviously they're finishing exactly where I had them finishing, but there was a completely different reason. I didn't see all these young guys coming up and contributing this much. So I think the future is pretty bright for the team.
Yeah, I mean, they've got all these, obviously, options next year. You know, if this were a different, you know, if this was an alternate universe, alternate baseball universe where teams could trade, the Tigers could be really big sellers in terms of talent next year. They could really pick up some pieces.
Yep.
Because they just got so much duplication, you know, in the outfield and here and there. So I don't know. But that's not going to happen. So basically we're back to the Tigers of a decade ago when they had a tremendous minor league outfield, but really no idea whatever to do with them.
Right. All right, so making a four-seam transition, let's talk about Shohei Ohtani.
Not a split finger or a 164 kilometer per hour four-seam transition?
You know, the whole time we've done this show and I've been doing my transitions, you've never even tried to throw a pitch in there, and you picked today to throw a wild pitch.
Hashtag.
Whoa.
You uncork a wild pitch.
You're gonna get all somber on me.
Yeah, nobody... That thing went all the way to the States, you know. ESPN,
yeah, they're
the
gonna
show.
They're gonna have a different Sawamura award now.
Yeah.
Hashtag high heat.
That's a good one. All right, but let's talk about Shohei Ohtani because, geez, it's that time of the show.
it is indeed our weekly update.
He broke his record for the fastest pitch in Japan. He hit 164 kilometers per hour. That's 102 miles an hour to you and me. And I love it. I mean, these fast pitches in Japan, Yoshio Itoi just sent the pitch in the right field for a two-run single that put the
Buffaloes
up.
Well, he was very fortunate. He was very fortunate to get his bat on the ball, but it was, you know, he got jammed and he looked like his... it took him a while for his hands to calm down.
Yeah, I saw the replays at him first base, like shaking his hands, saying, "Man, that hurt! Man, that hurt!"
Yeah,
he was jammed
because he hit it off the handle. I'm going, how did he even get that out there? Well, good for him. That was a heck of a swing.
Right. So all season long, you know, I throw these little questions out on Twitter and on the Facebook page, and I don't really get much play, but I don't care. I keep trying, but this one seemed to get a lot of responses. So I threw out the question, contract/money issues aside, what MLB team would be the best fit for two-way player Shohei Ohtani to both hit and pitch? And I got a lot of stuff back on this one, and this was a fun little exercise, and I noticed that you even contributed on the Facebook page. So I wanted to read a few of the responses, and I had a couple teams in mind before I actually threw the question out, but I subsequently changed my National League pick because of one of the responses that we got. But some of the responses included... Stuart Miller said Dodgers. He says, of course, I'd love to see him on the Mariners. Bill Thompson says, I'd love to see him on the Cubs, but I think he'll go to an AL team. The best fit would probably be the Red Sox. I believe you said the Boston Red Sox as well, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I was thinking park-wise, that would be wonderful for him because, A, he's a right-handed pitcher.
Uh-huh.
And he's a power arm. So that's going to help him. And then the other side is he has... so much power to center, you know, to center and left center, and he's starting to pull the ball a little bit, and because he hits it so hard, you know, he could be Ted Williams there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a wonderful park for him.
Yep.
But again, it's more about the team, as long as we're speaking of the Red Sox, I asked this question of Bill James the other day.
Uh huh.
How likely would a major league team be willing to say, wow, Shohei Ohtani is a great hitter and a great pitcher. Let's find a way to use both of them. Those are the talents. Instead of, hey, son, forget it. We're the major leagues. That's not how we do things.
Right.
And he didn't answer the question except to say his answer was major league teams absolutely should be looking at how do we get the most out of this guy's talent and not look at we know everything.
Right.
And his two examples, and he's a consultant for the Boston Red Sox, and his two examples were Kim Byung-hyun, the Korean side armor, and Daisuke Matsuzaka, in which he said, look, we had two guys who basically wanted to train ways we couldn't conceive of, so we told them not to. We basically threw roadblocks in front of the things they needed to do to be prepared because we thought we knew everything, and let's look at how that turned out.
Right, right.
So his point was teams absolutely have to be looking how to get the most out of the talent, but he didn't answer the question, and I'm thinking it's still, I think 70% of major league teams will say, oh, well, we just don't do that.
Okay. So getting back to some of the comments, Dean... and he says, the Red Sox, they have MLB superstar outfield of the future. Mm-hmm. So they're probably just looking for a fourth outfielder / platoon DH anyway, so mm-hmm. that he would fit in as an extra arm in the pen with an eye toward the rotation. And the biggest comment, the one that made me change my mind, was our buddy Dave DeFreitas, who has appeared on the show or did appear on the show in the early years. It hasn't, I think, in the past 2 or 3 years. And he said the Cubs, hands down, because of Joe Maddon, the manager. And he said the Ohtani situation isn't as simple as some at-bats in between starts. It'll require distinct situational awareness throughout the season. And Joe already has the ability to execute a plan, but also can adjust things quickly as anyone. The ultra-positive clubhouse he runs would also play a huge role, and he later on said that he'd be able to convince the other players that this is a good idea, whatever idea he comes up for usage. And, I looked at the park. I was thinking about what's better, the American League or the National League? What park would be good? I don't want it to be – I'm thinking I want him in a neutral park so that if he hits the ball well, it goes out, and if he throws the ball well, it doesn't go out. And I was thinking of those things, and I thought I can't even remember what the team I had picked first was, but my team for the National League is now the Chicago Cubs. I kind of agreed because even if the weather is bad blowing in or blowing out, it's the same for everybody, so it's not so bad, and he'd be able to hit there. And I think in the American League, I think Minnesota, and like I said, money and all those things aside, I think it's a fairly good park to pitch and to hit in. But and they've had a Japanese player, obviously. They had Tsuyoshi Nishioka there before. And I thought it would be okay. The other team I thought about was Cleveland, but they're really stacked with pitchers, and they're pretty good hitter-wise, too, so I'm not sure that he'll get a chance right away. And I heard, you know, other people talk about San Francisco and that Bruce Bochy would be the kind of manager who's open to different ways of using guys. But what did you think?
Well, my thoughts about that were if Bochy thought it would work, it would be fine because the Giants basically they try to be like Hiroshima, the Hiroshima Carp. They try basically they'll not sign people because they don't think they're a good clubhouse fit. They like guys who are clubhouse positive pretty much top to bottom. So if the manager thought it would work, the players would think it was going to work. So they don't need the extra help Joe Maddon, you know, brings with that. So that's why I mentioned Bochy.
Okay. Well, someone else did as well. So it wasn't just you. There were a lot of we got a lot of play on this question. It seemed to be the topic of the day. I think we got.
Well, that's
usually I'll put it on.
That's very deflating. I like it when it's only me. It's all about me.
But this one usually if I throw something out on Twitter. Yeah, I might get a couple of responses, and if I throw it out on the Facebook page, I'll get a like instead of a response. I think Claudio seems to chime in for us a lot, but this one got a lot of play from a big group of people on the Facebook page, and a little
might have been the timing.
Quite a few on Twitter as well. So. Yes, I the Dodgers. Of course, I would love to see him on the Dodgers, but I just don't think they're going to go for another player through the posting system. And if they do, I hope it's Seiya Suzuki, because I'd like to see a good power hitting a good slugging Japanese player go to the States and see what he could do. Of course, that stadium's not conducive for a lot of home runs, but anyway, who cares? He could play in Arizona.
Yeah,
if they're still in there, Arizona, you'll be all right.
Yeah, indeed.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. All right, so we got a question from Coaster Freak. He sent High Heat, and he says, Yohei Oshima, Ryosuke Hirata, both of Chunichi, and Takayuki Kishi of Seibu are slated to be free agents after this season. Do you see them looking for greener pastures? Jim?
Well, you know, Hirata is such a – he's become the fixture. He's the guy in Chunichi, right, in the Chunichi Dragons. I don't see him leaving, but on the other hand, he could, you know, just go join the Toin Osaka old boys team in Tokorozawa, Saitama Prefecture, and join the Seibu Lions, because about half the team is from Toin Osaka.
Right.
So that's always a possibility. I think Takayuki Kishi might go in Japan. I might go to the majors too, but I'm thinking more likely he'll go in Japan. I know he loves Sapporo Dome.
Right.
He's got an ERA like 1.5 runs lower than he does at home.
Interesting. Yeah, first of all, Hirata, I did see a report that the Swallows were going to be very interested in him, interested in acquiring
As they should be. As they should be.
Right. And I know that Yuhei Takai is actually going to be a free agent as well. So they could probably, if they lose him, they could go after Hirata and stick him in right. But I'm just not comfortable with that with the Swallows, because when you look at Hirata, here's a guy whose his medical profile doesn't really play out for a guy who's going to do any better in terms of the injuries with a team that has had a really bad medical profile, especially over the past 3-4 seasons. So I don't really think that's a good pickup for them. And
so John will be, when we're finished this podcast, he'll be operating his independent health organization podcast. So we'll be starting shortly.
Hashtag high heat.
Hey, man.
Because you can well keep soon. That stuff in mind, man. I mean, yeah, stay tuned. Stay tuned for learning more stuff about health, because I'm learning stuff by the second.
By the second, he says. So, but the other thing is I don't see Chunichi spending a lot of money.
No, they haven't spent
a lot of money. And so to keep guys like have Oshima on your list, but he's not going to be a free agent. I have him down for 7 years, so he won't be a free agent until after next season.
Right. This reminds me of what I wrote on my blog at the end of the last season. I did a story called Blue is the New Red about the Chunichi Dragons becoming the new cheap team in the Central League. basically
and always working in the red
in terms of paying the, you know, getting paying the least for the most value.
Right.
They're not where the carp are, but they're, you know, they're pinching pennies. So it's very likely that these guys will go just because they don't want to pay them competitive salaries. You know, they'll appeal to their loyalty and they'll say, you know, we want you to play for a long time. You know, we'll give you, you know, we'll give you an extra team pin or something. You know, you can give one to your friends or something. But they're not going to pay competitive salaries. It's going to be really hard. They're going to have to fill these guys' boots with, you know, guys from the Dominican Republic, probably.
Right. So, and then with Kishi, I know that, you know, my image of him and in talking with him is that he's a real loyal guy and that I didn't think he would be leaving, but...
You've talked to him, have you?
I've spoken with him on many occasions. You know, obviously not in recent years, but but yeah. I have talked to him, and he just seemed to me like a guy who would want steady ground under his feet. But then you talked about the fact that he's not a big fan of the Cebu Dome mound.
I know. Yeah, he would like a more stable mound under his feet. Maybe right. The Lions will say, "Look, well, you know, we're going to rebuild it just for you."
Right.
Yeah, it's basically a sand pile.
So that's going to be intriguing to see where he ends up. And then Yoshio Itoi is also going to be a free agent. And I see him as a big-time impact player because here's a guy who's stealing 50 bases and is hitting over 300. And can you imagine him at Jingu or something like that if they get a hold of him? I think he's a better, like I said, the medical profile. He fits that better for that team.
He also fits that Swallows profile. You know, the insurance premiums are going to go through the roof. He's been, you know, it was funny because he was hurt all of last year. He was hurt much of the year before that. And this year he was hurt coming into the year and he didn't look good. And then all of a sudden it was like, I was trying to fool everybody. I was trying to give him a different look because he just, you know, it's like the guy who gets hit with a pitch and he's bending over, moaning, and he's off stealing second on the next pitch.
Oh, Hirokazu Ibata. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But so, but he has played a bunch of games. He's played 130, 140 games most of the past 8 years, 9 years. So it's not like he's a guy who tends to be hurt a lot. So
He got traded to Oryx basically because the fighters didn't want to pay him as much money as he wanted. So he got traded like 2 days before the start of spring camp.
He got bounced.
He did indeed. And then the cover their butt story was, they didn't want to post him. Because every time I asked him about posting after that, he looked at me like, "Are you speaking Latin?" Like, what's up with that? Posting? Majors? Huh?
Stop it.
Yeah. It's like that was the story, but he never heard it. Nobody told him that was the lie he was supposed to be telling.
Well, he is 35, so that could spell something else. But, obviously the home runs. He hit 3 home runs in the game the other day, so he's got 15. But that number could grow exponentially if his home stadium is Jingu.
Jingu would be wonderful for him. Tokyo Dome would probably be really good for him at this stage of his career because the outfield's not that big. I don't think he gets the jumps he was getting. His arm's not what it used to be.
Yeah, but the stolen bases, it's just amazing, a guy this old stealing that many bases. Sure. So yeah.
Of course, the Giants have the problem of they don't know who their good players are. They got, "Oh, this guy's pretty good." You know, they're, "Oh, and then, well, hold on." It's like, cut the deck and see who our players are today. They don't seem to have a real clue. So that probably would not prevent them from going after Itoi because they don't know who their outfielders are. They probably get him and then try to then decide what their talent is. Let's get him. Let's be the Giants. Let's get him. Oh, wait. Now what are we going to do for him? What are we going to do with this guy?
Well, that's definitely a clue that it's time to wrap up the show. So,
exactly.
Thank you for the question, Coaster Freak, and anyone else who has a question, send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Tweet us at #HighHeat@JBWPodcast. You can also go to our Facebook page, and you can still leave us a comment there about Ohtani and where you think he should be, or he would be a good fit in the major leagues, and we'll get to it next week. So thank you very much for listening, and enjoy your baseball.
Ciao.